This is a CKTZ News Update. I'm Lonnie Taylor. Local farmer Wildflower Produce is producing ginger here in Canada. I caught up with Sarah Stewart to find out more about this unique root that she is growing and bringing to market on Cortez Island. Are you familiar with any other farmers that are growing ginger in the region?
Yeah, it's becoming more and more popular. So I'd say over the past like 5 years, it's become trendy in the market garden world. I don't know anyone, I know gardeners on Cortez that are growing it, but I don't know anyone that's growing it commercially. And I'm sure there's people on Vancouver Island. I know someone on the Sunshine Coast that does it. And turmeric as well grows similarly.
Cool. So this is your second season growing ginger for market?
Yes.
And tell me a little bit about what that looks like, because we're in Canada. So where are you growing this ginger?
So it's a long season. It's about a 10-month season for ginger from seed to harvest. So last year was my first year. So I just bought it from the co-op. And you just cut it into pieces and germinate it. I do it inside my house in January, so it kind of gets a little bit of a start. But then this year I was able to save seed, you would call it, but you're saving the root. So you save the root of the ginger, I cured it and then stored it and then was able to generate enough to start again. And then I still bought a little bit from the co-op because I was scared it wasn't going to work. So you just cut it up so there's a little eye on each piece and then you plant it. And then once it sprouts, I pot it up and I keep it in the greenhouse, in a heated greenhouse for the first little bit, and then plant it out around May or June once the soil warms up into a greenhouse. So it has very specific growing conditions. It likes it hot, but it also likes it shady. So I put it in a greenhouse with a shade cloth on it, but it also goes underneath my tomatoes so that it has a little bit more of a shade. Ginger likes soil to be 70 degrees, which is like very warm. And it's a tropical understory. It grows in the forest underneath, which is why it likes it hot and shady.
Beautiful. So you mentioned that you cured the ginger in order to propagate it. But when you are selling it, you're actually selling it fresh, right?
That's right. Yeah. So it hasn't been cured. And a lot of people have never even seen ginger that hasn't been cured before. So it's actually has the greens attached to it because the greens are edible. And they have like long, almost bamboo-like leaves to it. And the greens can cook down and they go into soup. So you can put them into a pot of rice and flavor the rice like ginger. You use it kind of like you would lemongrass. And then the root has a very thin skin on it. So you can use the entire root. You don't have to cut off the outer rind like you would in a cured ginger that you would buy from the store. And it has a pink hue on the top of it. So wherever the leaves come out, there's like this beautiful pink color to it. So that's something that you don't see with the cured stuff.
How many years have you had your greenhouses now? Because I recall that you funded those greenhouses through a grant.
That's right. They were a response to the pandemic. It was just a one-time pilot program that hasn't been repeated as far as I know. So it was for very small producers that produce under 60,000, like gross under 60,000, which is just like a very small scale, like one or two employees. So they offered projects up to $10,000. They covered 75% of it. And so I was able to purchase a greenhouse and then change a building to be a walk-in cooler through that grant. So it's been, 3 years now I've had this up.
And what else are you growing in the greenhouse?
So the greenhouse has a succession to it. So in the springtime and over winter and then into the spring is greens. So this year, I'm pretty sure I had a bed of carrots in there and then the rest were all like arugula and baby kale and things like that. And then as the season warms, I just plant the tomatoes into those. And so a lot of the hot things go in, like tomatoes, peppers, cucumbers, eggplants, and the ginger. We're in my hot greenhouse that has a 30% shade cloth, but I also have a second greenhouse that has a 50% shade cloth. And so I actually plant lettuce in there and my greenhouse ends up being the coolest place on the farm, which a lot of people don't associate growing lettuce in the middle of summer inside of a greenhouse, but it works quite well for me. And then the greenhouse, the smaller lettuce greenhouse, becomes my chicken coop for the winter.
Okay, awesome. So you're using the greenhouses year round.
That's right. So now that the tomatoes are coming out, for example, today I was just harvesting the ginger. And as that comes out, that's going to convert to greens. I tried some green onions in there for the first time this winter. And I also have carrots germinated in there that are going to be coming up. And beets. I'm trying beets in the greenhouse over winter for the first time.
Exciting. Mm-hmm. Now, you also said that ginger and turmeric grow in similar environments. Are you experimenting with turmeric at all?
I've thought about it, possibly. The ginger, I think, has a higher demand, and that's why I focused on it. But that was one of the goals, was to have half a bed of ginger and half a bed of turmeric. So we'll see if that transpires next year.
Wildflower Produce is producing ginger here in Canada. You're actively harvesting it and bringing it to market right now. How much longer do you think you'll be selling it?
Friday market, the 29th, and then the following Friday, which is the long weekend in October. That'll be my last week at the market for the season. So I'll have it at those two markets for sure. I just dropped some off at the co-op today, and then that should be it, because the rest I'll need to save for seed.
Cool. And did you produce more ginger this year than you did last year?
I did, because it was warmer. Last year, we had a very cool spring, so it was challenging. They really struggled. So the leaves died back a little bit once I transplanted it, because they need the soil at 70. And so if it's not at that threshold, then it just doesn't grow and will start to die back and become more susceptible specifically to fungal contamination. So it did better this year just because it was quite a bit hotter.
We're facing obvious signs of climate change. And I know as a farmer, you have probably recognized a lot of these effects. Greenhouse growing. How do you see that affecting your future, near future, in response to climate change? How is it impacting what you're deciding to grow?
That's a really good question. So growing in a greenhouse is always beneficial. It gives you control. I can control the water, and I can control the temperature, and I can control the airflow to some degree, more than I can in an outside environment. If things were unlimited, I would have 10 greenhouses. It just makes things so much easier. And you don't have to work in the rain. And when it's hot, you go in like the shade cloth. And so it's actually a really pleasant environment to be in. So with climate change, it's definitely a dominating factor in my decision making now. And I would say that's new in the past like 2 years. And, you know, it's easy to, I'm not a climate change denier, but it's easy to just deny its impacts and its immediacy. And instead of thinking about it like, right, that's in the future, and there's going to be food shortages in the future, and there's going to be extreme weather in the future. Like, it wasn't until that heat dome, I think, of 2021, where it just like really sunk in for me, like, oh no, this is now. Like, all the things we've been talking about for decades, like, this is happening now. And so it really does impact it. Like I was saying, last year, the ginger didn't do well because even though it was in a greenhouse in the exact same conditions, we had an unusually cool, wet, long spring. We had January for 6 months. It was like completely demoralizing. And so, yeah, I would grow in more covered areas, and it does absolutely affect my crop choices now, specifically for like more long-term things. If I'm looking at planting more fruit trees, I have to plant them for what the climate's going to be like in 20 years, not for what the climate's like now. And so I've done a lot more research into this winter because I want my farm to succeed. I want the crops to succeed, and I want to have high yields. But at the same time, it's extremely stressful. And there's a website I heard about it through CBC. I'll give you the link to it. And they're focusing a lot on the mental impacts that climate change is having on farmers, because it is so stressful. I really think that we're seeing it in a way that nobody else on the planet is seeing it. It impacts us so directly that it's not like any other retail industry where you buy a product and then you sell it. So it's just, it's a way to help mitigate that stress as well, and to make things a little bit more predictable. If I have a covered space, then I can have a little bit more control and help alleviate the stress of climate change. Farming already is a very stressful job and has one of the highest rates of suicide around the world. And so it's not just like developing nations like India, where there's a massive suicide crisis. In Australia, a farmer commits suicide every 4 days. In France, is every 2 days. In Canada, the suicide rate for farmers is 3.5 times the national average. So having things like climate change on top of something that's already stressful is very challenging. And there's another program called AgSafe, where they're offering free mental health service for farmers. You have to prove that you're a commercial farmer. And so they have a list of therapists that you can access. So I have a therapist, and I just got her to register with them. And they provide 8 sessions a year, and then more if the therapist recommends it. So that's a really valuable service, I think, for farmers in Canada. Or I don't know if it's just BC. It could be. But I'll send you that link too.
That is amazing.
I just found out about this. My therapist told me. She's, I've got another client that's doing this. Why aren't you doing this? So they're not promoting it very much.
I'm really glad you're sharing that with your community. Thank you.
Lonnie Taylor, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.